Welcome to Disciple City Church Podcast. My name is Jerry Wagner, founder and lead pastor of Disciple City Church in Dallas, Texas. Thank you for tuning in. Our desire is to unleash a family of healthy disciple makers in Dallas to reach the world. God bless you as you listen and consider subscribing so that you can listen to new messages each week. Thank you and have a God-filled day.
Thank you. My bags are packed. I'm ready to go this morning. I don't know about you guys, but I got a few things with me to help me out. My kids are at home sick with different stuff, so I'm trying to be, you know, a little bit considerate today. But my bags are packed. I'm ready. Is anybody else ready this morning? I'm not believing anybody yet, but that's okay. We'll get ready this morning. But I'm ready to go. I feel a burden. I brought some stuff to give you. I need your help though, real quick. There is a modern day hero in our midst. There is a legend. You know who I'm talking about. They're in this room, and I need your help identifying them, okay? There's a person in our family who is marked by some stuff that just stands out in a crowd. I'm telling you, you know who I'm talking about. There's a person here who, let me take my bag off and get a little bit more comfortable. I'm carrying some stuff, you know. They walk with a meekness, you know. They're not really showy about it. They're gentle, but they're also not, like, afraid to step to somebody and give them some encouragement. But, like, that correctional, you know what I'm talking about, like, constructive feedback, maybe a little bit of admonishment type encouragement. You might know who I'm talking about, but let me give you a little bit more. This person, they also are just so thoughtful and intentional. They're considerate. They are marked by love. You know who it is. They see people. They make you feel seen, like every time you see them. And they're so quick. They have this sense about them where they can kind of tell when something's off, and they might ask you about it. They'd be like, what's going on? And you're like, oh, it's fine. There's nothing. Lying straight to their face. You might know who I'm talking about. And then when something is going on and you tell them about it, they're like, well, let me shoulder that thing with you. Like, how can I help? Like, I'll bring a meal. You know, I'll sit and listen. I got you. Now, don't shout it out yet. You might know who I'm talking about, but you might have a couple people. Let me give you one more thing. You know they are here. You know them. There's one more thing about them where they're not really, like, in it for ego. You know what I'm saying? They don't really have this care to have a title or a role. You know what I'm saying? They're not trying to be out in front. They don't do it for themselves. They're really humble about it. You know who I am talking about. You know who this is. They don't consider themselves any different from a person who's struggling or suffering. They're just part of the family. Now listen, at the risk of embarrassing somebody that might be sitting next to you, I want you to think of that name, and on the count of three, I just want you to shout it out. Even if you don't have a name, just shout one out. It's fine. On the count of three, I want you to shout out a name. You got it? All right, one, two, do you have a name? Okay, you ready? One, two, three. Somebody heard their name and they were like, oh. Now listen, the affirmation that just went around, the encouragement that just went around, that's bonus. But all of you are wrong and maybe right at the same time. Because the person is you. You are the person that I'm talking about. Now, I know what you might be thinking. This is stupid. I'm already tired of this. Can we just move on? Ryan is lying or something. But I believe this to my core. You see, God has given us as a family, you. Like each of you, you. Me, you, yes. You are who God has provided for our church, for this community. You are the gift God has given to contribute to the needs of our family. But here's the thing. You might not believe me. You may not be super bought into what I'm saying yet. And it could be for a few reasons. You might not know this about yourself. Maybe nobody's told you. Maybe you don't believe it. You don't think it's something that you're capable of at all. Ryan, you don't know what I got going on. Maybe that's for somebody else, but I don't have that gift. This isn't my season. Something. You may have some reason why you don't believe this is a mark that you carry. Or there's something going on that's contributing to you just not caring. Which is okay. Wherever you're at today is A-okay. All of you is welcome. Don't sweat it. Let's just be honest with one another. Because the goal that I have is that as we've been, you know, marching through Craven Community, as we land the plane today, a goal that I have is that as we continue 2024, celebrating, practicing, growing in, becoming a family of healthy disciple makers who are marked by being responsible siblings, I would love for us to get to the end of the year and believe about ourselves that this is true. To varying degrees, sure, but that this is something that is true of you. But I'd like for us to start today, because we have what it takes to be a family that's journeying together on mission. We're ready to go. My bags are packed. Say, my bags are packed. Oh, we're going to wake up today. Say, my bags are packed. Winter isn't over, but we got a break today. The sun is out. It's nice outside. Wake up. Say, my bags are packed. Okay, thank you. Yeah, I want you to believe by the end of today that your bags are packed, that you're staying ready, ready to go, ready to grow. Like Michaela's talking about to an extent, ready to leave something behind, to gain some new patterns, or to leave some burdens. Or you might be in a place today where you're saying, you know what, things have just gotten too heavy for me, I'm ready to bounce. I'm ready to leave, my bags are packed. I hope today that that word, that phrase can take on a new sense for you. That you could believe that staying and being a part of this family, as we grow into Craving Community, more than we crave oatmeal that has brown sugar in it, more than we crave bread, more, oh my gosh, I am so ready to eat anything. Anything. As we get into Galatians 6, 1 through 5, my hope is that your bags are packed, or that you move from baggage to bags that are packed and ready, that you can know that, like Paul writes, there's a context here, there's a family that is free in Jesus and filled with God's Spirit, and that when you are free in Jesus and filled with God's Spirit, you can be in your bag. You know what I'm saying? There are three particular things in this passage that I want to look at that you could pack and be ready to go with, three ways to be a family that's free in Jesus, filled with the Spirit, that you would be marked by character that produces a conduct that we see in this passage. Do you want to know what it is? Are you ready? Okay, say, my bags are packed. With gentleness, say gentleness. With love, say love. And with humility. All right, you know the sermon. All right, you can't walk out of here and forget, okay? You know what it is, but hopefully this is in your pockets, in your purse, in your backpack, because our bags are packed. All right, first point. My bags are packed with gentleness. With gentleness. Look at verse 1. Paul starts, he says, brothers and sisters. So, for context, Paul isn't just talking about anybody. Who's he talking about? The church, he's talking about the, starts with an F, the family, siblings, brothers and sisters. He doubles down in verse 10. He says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us work for the good of all. Yes, keep reading though, especially for those who belong to the family. to the household of faith, to the family. Paul's talking to family. And he says that sometimes in the family, there will be a sibling who gets got. Man, they are overtaken. That's what he says. If someone is overtaken in any wrongdoing, overtaken. I don't know what you would read that as. When I read it, I was like, you know, they got caught up. And to some extent, that's what it means. It's the idea of time, though. It's a very strange term. It was unfamiliar to me. But it has the idea of surprise. That there was a sibling who was walking along, and all of a sudden, surprise, they got caught up. Like they were hunted. Like they got caught in a trap. Now, some people could interpret this to say, I caught you in wrongdoing. But as we go through the passage, hopefully you see that Paul isn't encouraging any siblings to like be crime watch. He's out here hunting siblings who might be in sin. So if you feel the need to like bulldoze or helicopter among the family, you could check those bags at the door. That's not what Paul is wanting us to do here. The idea is that they are caught. And what they're caught in is wrongdoing. It's sin or offenses against God. I love this. There's another lexicon that talks about the idea of like taking a false step. Like, oh, I stumbled. Or you lose your footing. I think that's so incredible. It just makes sense that you're walking along and all of a sudden you slipped into something. I feel like sometimes because of the culture that I came up in, I was taught that, like, you need to carry a spoon with you at all times. And if a sibling's out of line, you just, like, pull that spoon out. And it's like the chastisement spoon. You know what I'm saying? This is the paddle. And you just have to shame people into something. But the tone, the posture here is so much more gentle. So much more compassionate, which is remarkable. Let's keep moving. Paul is talking about someone who is caught in sin, but he's talking to you who are spiritual. Now, if you had to guess, and I just want you, look, this is the trust tree. The shade here is nice, okay? There's no shade for being wrong. I just want you to shout out, when you read this, what do you think it might mean? When it says you who are spiritual, who is that? Tell me. The church. Okay, go ahead. Come on, a little louder, Brig. Something to do with maturity. All right, come on. Stop being so quiet. Wake up. Let's go. Believers. Okay, this is all great. I think people are like, I don't want to be wrong. It's not wrong. We're doing Bible study together. It's all right. Be wrong. The only way that you can grow is if you learn. The only way you learn is if you fail. The only way you fail is if you test. Okay, we're going to move. That's an aside. We're going to move. You who are spiritual. It could be all Christians, right? Because all Christians have God's Spirit. True. But one of the Christians here is caught in sin. So they don't seem to be the one who is spiritual. Could we say that just by deduction? Is that, you catch that? Okay. So maybe then it's those who are more mature. Maybe it would be like leaders, you know, the spiritual ones among us. How many of you think that I think that's what it means? Probably not, after I say it that way, which is kind of my goal. Look, I went to seminary, okay? So I know things that you may not know. I'm great. I know that chapter 5 comes before chapter 6. Thank you. Thank you. I'm not the person I was describing. I'm after ego, you know? I say that facetiously because you know this. At the end of chapter 5, there's a familiar passage to you. There's the Spirit producing fruit. Those who are spiritual are just those who are doing what Paul is describing in chapter 5. Let me prove it to you. Look at 5:16. Chapter 5, verse 16. I say then, four words, say it with me, walk by the Spirit. All right, you're on to something. Look at verse 18. But if you are four words, led by the Spirit. All right, you're tracking with me. Look at verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. If you want to know who the spiritual are, there you go. I gave you the formula. How do I know if I'm spiritual? Those four things. Live by, led by, keep in step with, walk with the Spirit. I could tell you from the language, from grammar, it's those who belong to the Spirit or have characteristics of those who are marked by the Spirit. But at the end of the day, if you want to know who's spiritual, it's those who are bearing the fruit of the Spirit, which makes sense within the context of the passage, because if you take the fruit of the Spirit and lay it over the verses that we're looking at, I think you might see the fruit of the Spirit at work in the life of the community. Does that make sense? All right, let's move then. Let's keep moving. What does he tell those who are spiritual to do? He says, restore. So good. He says, restore. Say, restore. I love this. Oh, the Bible's nice. I can't wait to make this point. It's going to take a minute, though, okay? To restore means to put something back in order. It was used a few different ways. Fishermen would mend their nets. They would restore their nets. They would put it back to the way that it was supposed to be. You already got it. I don't even have to keep going. It also was used medically to anybody familiar with putting something that's been dislocated back? Anybody in here seen that happen? How about, let's go harder. This hurts me to even talk about. Anybody ever broken something or been around someone who broke something and it had to get reset? It makes me nauseous. It makes me feel sick inside. But that's the idea here, is that something in the family is dislocated. It's broken. It's out of whack. And it needs to be put back in order. The idea of what Paul is communicating is that we need to go hunting, not for sin, but for those who have been hunted by sin, who have been caught in its trap, who missed a step, who lost their footing, who were surprised. Our posture shouldn't be a shaming posture. I knew you were going to get back into this. Even you might be saying, like, I would never say that, but have you thought it? Paul's coming for our heart. Are we marked by this type of posture where we believe the best about our siblings when they stumble, and that our goal isn't to make them feel bad about what they've done, it's to make them feel good about our God and to walk alongside of them, to bring them back, to put them in order the way that God intends us to be? Isn't that so beautiful that when there is sin in the camp, when there's something awry in the family, that our spidey senses would be tingling? But it's not a sense. It's God's Spirit. You who are spiritual, man, let's keep in step with the Spirit so that we can know when something is out of whack, and then we can know how to go about putting it back in order, which I'm going to get to again in just one little second. But before I do, I want to talk about how we do it. How do we restore? It's with a gentle spirit. So the spirit of gentleness, we do it gently. My bags are packed with gentleness, right? And there's a couple of verses that I think help illustrate this. One, both of them are Proverbs. One is 15:1. The writer said, "A gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath." You ever started a fight on accident? Whose fault was it? I'm not saying it was yours or theirs. Just use this as an example. Did I come correct? Ask yourself that question. The next one is 27:6. For those who are receiving gentleness or not, the wounds of a friend are trustworthy. You ever heard that verse? That's like some of our favorite verses when we're on the giving side. When we're on the receiving side, we're like, you know? Okay, all right. But the kisses of an enemy are excessive. Stop kissing on me. Anyways, those are something to consider as we consider what it looks like to restore. Because sometimes, I've kind of made this point, it doesn't really matter how you step to someone. The truth just hurts. Anybody ever just been cut by the sword of the Scriptures? You ever just been sliced and diced? Just This is what I see. I want you to know. This is what I see. That's fine. But I'm just asking you a question, okay? When I see that, I'm like, I'm not making sense or they don't hear me. Have you ever been cut by the word? Has the word ever like sliced and diced you down to the marrow of the bone like Hebrews talks about and you're just like laid bare before the Lord like, you're right, man. Isn't God so faithful to bring us siblings who might do this? But here's the deal. You ever, speaking of my bags, you ever like gone through TSA or whatever and you've been flying and this is too big to be a carry-on, but you step up and they, you know, scan your bags and then all of a sudden they pull you aside? Isn't that the bane? All of a sudden, your day's off. You cooked. There's not an ounce of gentleness in your bag, but there's like 4 ounces of some fluid and they're like, you're like, let me dump an ounce. They're like, and you just feel so mad at the TSA agent. Like they saw you and just thought, I don't like her. I don't like him. And you're just like, it's because my shoes, right? You wish you had my shoes. Or you saw something in my bag that you just wanted to disrupt. You're having a bad day. We're so quick to say it's the TSA agent's fault. Did you know that the TSA agent doesn't care at all? They don't care at all. They are just doing their job. They did it to 17 people before you showed up. It has nothing to do with you. It's not so random sometimes. I don't know. I got questions. But no one likes getting their bag checked. No one likes when the standard steps to them. But everyone likes the safety that we're brought when it's there. And I'm sure that when someone steps to you because you've misstepped, that you might feel like, man, they're coming at me incorrect, or this is because I said something to them last week, or they just wish that I had done this thing and now I'm not doing it and they're mad at me or whatever. But we all want the harmony and the peace and the purity of the standard, do we not? Let me make it plain, because I think I got some of you, but we still a little bit there, so let me just keep moving. Paul says restore. Now let me ask you something. Chris, if I'm out of line, can you restore me? Just think about it. If my character, my choices are out of whack, is there anything that you can do to restore me, to guarantee I can fix that? No, right? Right? Would you all agree? But that's what's beautiful about this, is that Paul commands the outcome. Paul commands the result, something that you cannot control. You know why? Because Paul believes that when you follow what God calls you to, that God will move. Now, I will say, I've done this enough to know that it doesn't always go the way. Sometimes there's good reason to not believe as easily. Like, man, I know this isn't going to go over well. And you think, you craft this whole thing, like, I'm going to be so gentle. I'm going to say it like this. I'm going to compliment sandwich. I'm going to whatever. But then all of a sudden, not one thing that you thought of, not 1 ounce of consideration, nor the gentleness matters. It can be hard to believe. It can be hard to trust, so it can be hard to obey. So our bags could be packed with gentleness to confront. We could confront gently. Or maybe our bags are packed with fear. Maybe we got fear in our bags, so we reach in when confrontation is needed and we're like, that's all I got for you. Just hoping the best. Thoughts and prayers. That is such a coded statement. I am sorry if it hit you wrongly. Let's talk about it. Come confront me gently after. But maybe we're afraid that we'll be rejected. We say something and they reject us. Or maybe we're afraid that they'll feel rejected by us. It's not our intent, but they think we just don't like them. What we're forgetting is that we're the TSA agent. And it's not my standard. Because if it was my standard, I was way outside the bounds of what Jesus presented to his church and his family. If it was my standard, you could do so very many things. But now I've learned some things about what Jesus wants in his household, what he allows, what Jesus' bounds are. And so it's not my standard. So if they're rejecting me, who are they rejecting? And hopefully that could be a little something that helps to quiet those fears and stir up some gentleness so that I can have a little bit of trust and obey. But you might lack trust. You might not trust that they need help. You might not trust their character in the situation. That's a possibility. You might not trust that they'll be receptive. You might not trust that God will move. But what's the alternative? Have you ever seen a bone that didn't get reset when it needed it? The body doesn't function the way it's supposed to. And I wonder sometimes if we don't confront gently, if our bags aren't packed with gentleness, if our body is going to walk all stilted because we've got all these broken things and we can't run on mission like Jesus has called us to. Things don't function the way that they're supposed to. I don't know. I just wonder. Or sometimes things just get too compounded and our bags are already packed, so we just head for the door. Listen, wherever you're at today, I want you to know that we cannot be a craving community if we want to be comfortable more than we want to confront our siblings. And if you're in a season where you need confrontation, take the first step. You may have misstepped, but you can step to a sibling and confess. Ask for help. Ask for accountability. Ask for prayer. Come down and have somebody pray with you. If you're in a situation where you need to confront, you know God's moving you to do it, ask for prayer, step to a sibling, leave out names, don't be gossiping, and ask for someone to walk alongside you to check in on you. Because if you don't do what God is moving you to, what do you call that? A wrongdoing, an offense against God. So if you aren't bearing the responsibility of your sibling, then you're not bearing your own responsibility. That's tough. And it's my next couple points. It all plays together. And here's an encouragement. It is so much easier to hold on to God's promises when someone is holding you down or lifting you up. And that's the next point. My bags are packed with gentleness, but my bags are also packed with love. Say, my bags are packed. My bags are packed with love. Look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. Paul says, carry one another's burdens. I don't know if you noticed, but the fast guide was all one another passages. The sermons have all been one another passages, and today is no different. Verse 2, carry one another's burdens. That is what we're talking about today. And carry is what you would expect. It's helping someone with something that's weighing them down, like burdens. And burdens are probably what you would expect, but maybe not. So let's look at it. Burdens are something oppressive, something that is not supposed to be there. It is excessive. It is weighing on someone more than what God would intend for them. Now, we could get all theological about how God allows things. That's not the point that I'm trying to make right now. I want you to hear me saying a burden is not the intended reality for a sibling. Does that make sense? It's in excess of what God wants for them. We could talk about that. Come and talk to me. We talk about it. But let me make a point first. For example, a day of work that is particularly exhausting, the word was used in that way. Temptations, the word has been used in that way. The burden of a law, it's been used that way. A weight, feeling oppressed, or these oppressive demands. Heaviness, grief, misery, or literally a requirement. In Acts 15, verse 28, as the early church is Jewish, and they see that the Spirit is moving among the Gentiles, they send to the Gentiles some things to do to practice being a part of the people of God. And they lay out some requirements, and then what they say is, Acts 15, 28, it was the Holy Spirit's decision and ours not to place further burdens on you beyond these requirements. That is the same word here. It's a burden. It's something that is on you, extra bags that you might be carrying in life. And then it says that when we are faithful to carry one another's burdens, in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. When you are practicing this command of carrying one another's burdens, you are fulfilling what Christ demands of his people. If you want to know what Jesus wants, Paul tells us it's to carry one another's burdens. Okay, let me see. If you want to please Jesus, if you want to do what Jesus is asking of you, carry one another's burdens. Okay. Let's make it plain. Okay, let's move. Let's talk about what fulfill means. It's simply carrying out an agreement or an obligation or a duty. There's been times where it's been talked about as fulfilling prophecy, but it's just carrying something out. If you want to carry out what Jesus asks of the church, carry one another's burdens. Okay, you might be thinking like, yeah, but it says law. What does that mean? Some people take it to say it's an unwritten example that Jesus sets and it's following what Jesus's example is. Maybe. I take it a little bit differently. Remember, I went to seminary, okay? So did some of these other people. So I'm not trying to throw shade on purpose. I'm just saying I went to seminary. So I know incredible things that many people don't know. And it's that before chapter 6 you have, okay, look at verses 13 and 14. See if you can find it. Paul says, you were called to be free siblings, but don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. For the whole law, does that sound familiar? Is fulfilled in one statement. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then was it the first sermon in this series when it was John 13? There's another time when Jesus talks about a new command that I give you. And Pastor Jerry helped us see something that I had never, ever internalized. When it comes to your neighbor, you love your neighbor as yourself. But when it comes to your siblings, you love them like Jesus loves them. So here, if you want to know what it looks like to please Jesus, to do what Jesus demands of us, it might mean loving one another the way that Jesus loves us. And that means Acts 4:35, I think it is, that there's no need among us. No one has need. That no one is shouldering a burden by themselves. If you want to know what it means to please Jesus, if you want to carry out the demands that Jesus has for the family, carry one another's burdens. Maybe it's just too simple. I'm not sure. But in yielding to Jesus, what we do is we become like God. Psalm 68:19 says that day after day, oh, let me just read it real fast. Blessed be the Lord, day after day, he bears our burdens. You want to know how God bears our burdens? How many hands you got? How many hands you got? Abby, how many hands you got? Man, we have so many hands. Each one person has two hands. I can carry my bag, and I can carry one of yours. And if enough of us will come around someone who is burdened, we might be able to go far enough together. Okay, all right. I don't know if we're there yet. I don't know. I'm going to just keep going. But when our bags are packed with love, what we do is carry lovingly. We carry one another and our burdens. And I think we do this as a church, man. Look, I'll prove it to you. We're so generous with tangible needs. I try to do this as often as humanly possible. If you have had a tangible need met in the presence of this family, by this family, raise your hand. Higher. If you've had, look around. Look at all these hands. If you've helped meet a need, raise a hand. Raise them. Some of y'all are like, whatever. You have met needs. Guys, give yourself a hand. Give yourself a hand. Come on, you can do better. God has given you family to bear your burdens alongside of you. He is the great burden bearer and has provided. Blessed be the Lord is what the psalmist said. What an incredible gift. So good. But sometimes, you know, we carry in a few burdens and we think like, I think I've had enough. Or What I want to talk about in this moment is that somebody's carried our burdens before, and we're like, okay, I'm not trying to be that needy one. I'm not trying to always be the messy roommate, you know? I don't want to be typecast as like the person who always needs something. So I'm going to stop sharing. And so instead of our bags being packed with love, our bags are packed with too much of myself to ask others for help. And when you go to the check-in counter, they say, I'm sorry, your bags are too heavy. You need to take some things out to put them in your carry-on, which is going to go on the same plane. That's an aside. Doesn't really matter. But your bags are too heavy. Have you ever traveled with someone and they had space in their bag for you? Okay. All right. I'll keep going. We need a little bit more. Maybe we need less. I'm not sure, Pastor. I don't know, but I'm going to keep going. There's a commentator named Timothy George. Here's what he said. We all have burdens, and God doesn't intend for us to carry them by ourselves in isolation from our siblings. The myth of self-sufficiency isn't a mark of bravery, but rather a sign of pride. Paul's maxim in verse 3 is aimed at this perverted understanding of self. If a man thinks he's somebody, he's deceiving himself, for that very thought proves that he's nobody. Such an attitude of conceited self-importance leads to two fundamental failures in relationship. One I'll give you in this point, the other in the next point. One, the refusal to allow anyone else to help shoulder one's own burdens, since that would be an admission of weakness and need. To live this way, however, is to practice the art of self-deception, for no man is an island entire to himself. I think I remember Paul in a different place saying that when I'm weakest, God is strong. And when we want to be strong, we're proving we are weak. How many of you think that I could go a very long distance like this? Sorry, babe, drop your bag. I'm going to preach the rest of the sermon like this, and let's just see how annoying it is. But this is what we do in our lives, man. I mean, I got it. It's cool. I got it. The reason I'm preaching this sermon is because this is my bag. This is where I like to live. People are like, you need something? I'm like, no, I got it. Because my coping mechanisms from my entirety of my life are learning how to just kind of do a couple things by myself. And maybe some of us have learned a sense of independence, of self-sufficiency, and we think, no, I got it, I'm good, all the while neglecting the commands that Jesus has given us. Listen, if Jesus says, if you want to fulfill the law of, well, if Paul says you want to fulfill the law of Jesus, the demands that Jesus has put on his church, then carry one another's burdens. If we're all burden bearers, but nobody has a burden, then why would he command that? Listen, there are burdens in our midst. Are you listening? Do you hear me? Somebody's got something that they need to share so that I can have something that I can bear. Do you hear me? Nope, you don't. Okay, listen. Somebody is heavy laden. Somebody needs rest. Somebody here today might have something weighty on them that's causing them a grief or a misery, and it might be just a little bit helpful to have a sibling come alongside and just sit with them. Or maybe they come with you to the appointment, or maybe they check in on you, or maybe they go get the meds for you, or watch the kids for you, or hold it down for you. What would it look like for us to be a family that instead of being self-sufficient, we said, you know what? God is too great for me to be too great to ask for help. If we are going to fulfill the law of Christ, if we are going to carry one another's burdens, then we have to say, I've got something that needs carrying. By the end of this sermon, my hope for you is that if you have something that needs carrying, there'll be people down here ready to pray. It will not be me because I love you, but there will be people ready to pray. There are siblings next to you. You saw the hands go up. Don't do this thing alone. Do not, for the love of Jesus, do this thing alone. Speaking of Jesus, even he needed help. And Luke 8 says that these women were bankrolling his ministry. The next chapter, he feeds the 5,000, but it wasn't his lunch. It was a little boy's lunch that Jesus multiplied. When Jesus was doing the fulfillment of what he came to do on his way up the mountain, wouldn't you know it, he couldn't carry his own cross. So someone had to carry his cross with him. Jesus couldn't even do it by himself. Why do we believe that we can? We have burdens that need bearing. And the reality is, carry means to cause to come to a higher position. Your burdens are pushing you down from where God has you in your life. They're pushing you down. And God is saying, I'll lift you up. I will lift you. I will cause you to come to a higher position. Where are God's hands? Thank you. That was brave. You were the only one. You weren't the only one. You were the first. You went first. Claire, you also went first because you didn't see her. God will lift you up using your family's hands to do it. If you want to be lifted, let your family in. Last point, get out your hair. My bags are packed with gentleness, my bags are packed with love, and my bags are packed with humility. Humility. In verse 4, Paul says, let each person examine his own work. Examine is what you would expect. It's a critical testing of something to make sure that it's genuine. You put something to the test. But what's the standard for the test? Well, Paul subtly makes this point. He says, and then he can take pride in himself alone and not compare himself with someone else. Paul's crafty, man. He's creative. He says, compare yourself not to your siblings, but to Christ. Put yourself up against the one who has given this law. If you think that you are fulfilling all of what God has given you to do, compare yourself to him. Makes me think of Brittany had a mentor that said, I was the best parent until I became one. I'm still the best parent. I'm just kidding. I am so not. But if you compare yourself to a sibling, you might fare pretty well. If you compare yourself to Christ, how do you fare? Maybe you're comparing yourself to the wrong standard. That's why Paul says, if so, if you test and you pass, if your work is good, it has character, then you can have pride. You can boast. Two things that this could be taken as. Either you could be relieved that you don't have conceit like has been talked about around this passage. That's possible. And so you could be grateful for God's grace because that's what's producing in you the ability to have work that is good. Or Paul uses this same word for pride a few verses later. In verse 14, he says, but as for me, I will never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world has been crucified to me through the cross, and I to the world. I think if we ever get to a place where we're feeling pretty good about ourselves, we are dangerously close to the misstep in the first point with pride. Oh, no. Okay, let me see. He also says self three times in these verses. Paul's making a point. You can't do this by yourself. Listen, our bags have to be packed with humility so that we can consider humbly. Otherwise, we might get caught in the comparison cycle where we compare ourselves to our siblings and then we get puffed up with conceit and then we get a little bit critical and bring our critique to them and then we create chasms. When we critique, we create space. We aren't getting closer to one another to carry burdens. We're getting farther away. We're creating more excuses to not love one another. And that cycle gets on repeat. And all of a sudden, we are spiraling downward. And the problem is, the person who's conceited thinks really well of themselves, not knowing that no one is winning. The enemy has convinced you that you're great. You've got it. And all of a sudden, there's no humility. So if someone confronts you gently, that won't go over very well. If someone has a burden, you may not want to bear it. We look down on weighed down siblings instead of lifting up siblings by lifting their burdens with them. We need to move from superiority to support. And Paul uses this to flip with verse 5. He says, each one will carry his own load. Each one will carry his own load. Load and burden are different terms. A burden is a weight that's abnormal. Load is your typical everyday life. What God has given you, the assignment that God has for you. I'll illustrate this using my son. I take my boys to school, and in the morning, after my favorite time of the day, it's time to get out the door, which is my second favorite time of the day. I'm not serious. I grab my backpack. I grab my one-year-old. We'll say this is my one-year-old. I grab my one-year-old's backpack. And sometimes I grab his lunch. And then I say to Theo, hey, buddy, get your backpack. And Theo says, I want you to carry my backpack. And I say, Theo, look at my hands. I need you to carry your backpack and your lunch. I don't want to carry my lunch. Okay, buddy, it's going to stay here, and when lunch comes around, you're going to be hungry. I need you to carry your lunch. Do I love my son? Yeah, but if I let him think that his life is like the check-in counter at the airport, I'm not doing him any favors. If I alleviate my son's load and don't let him learn personal responsibility, I'm not doing him any favors. But here's the deal. Paul isn't just saying that your load is your life. He says your load is to carry yours and to carry one another's burdens. If you are on the sidelines because of your personal load and you are saying, I can't carry the burdens of my siblings right now in any way, shape, or form, Paul's saying, then you are not carrying your load. You think too highly of your load and too lowly of your family. And I can't think of one person that doesn't poke. I just can't. I can't think of not one person. I've had to sit with this all week, man. This has been on my head. Dang. Ugh. Are you carrying your load? Paul's point is that when you aren't carrying burdens, you become one. Please, I'm just kidding. Paul says, when you aren't carrying burdens, you become one. It's heavy. So our bags are packed with humility to consider, how am I doing? To compare ourselves against Jesus, not against our siblings. Paul wants to come for our posture and our character. And I mentioned that I would read that commentator's other point, but he just eloquently says what I've said, so I'll spare you. If you really want to know, I'll give you a picture of my notes or whatever. Send them to you, whatever you want. But my question is, do you have margin? And I'm getting out of your hair, okay? I know, it's been a lot. Do you have margin? Are your bags overpacked? Is there room for others in your bags? Have you put stuff in your bags that God hasn't put in your bags? This brings up capacity. We all have different capacities. This is by no means to shame anybody. One of the greatest things God's ever done for me, a self-sufficient runner, who just wants to do all the things by myself. I come from blue collar world. I come from a little bit of like baggage world, and all of that has contributed to my character. I am actively every day trying this out, putting this on every day. It is one of God's greatest gifts to me that he's given me a bride and babies to show me my limits, to show me the differences in capacity, so that I don't get too puffed up, so that I can consider humbly. It's one of the best things in the world. And part of getting a bride is she's got this cool bag that someone bought for her. I don't wear this. If you do, that's great. I come from Weatherford. I will never wear it. It's not God's assignment for my life, okay? And what I love about this bag is that it has room for your phone, your driver's license, maybe half a credit card, and 3 Tic Tacs. Okay? I could never operate. I have too much stuff that I want to take from place to place. There's no laptop sleeve. Can't put my water bottle in it. Where's a pen fit? This could fit a pen or two. I need books. This just won't work for me. But for some, this is what God has given you. This is your load. Carry your load. Right? So if this is your capacity, don't believe more for yourself than what God has given you. Do you understand? So what I say after this, this is the backdrop. I'm not asking anybody to go beyond your limits. Do you understand? If God has given you this for a capacity, do not do more. Unless you're fulfilling the law of Christ and carrying one another's burdens. But burdens go away after time, right? Okay, so if this is your capacity, then run with it. Now, let me tell you, some others have a different capacity, but then here's the problem. This is going to be extra. Just go with me. All right? Here's my capacity. That's great. If God gives me a burden, here's where I'm at now. All right. This is my capacity now. But let me tell you, sometimes God puts people around you who have burdens, and there aren't enough hands to carry. I'm not trying to throw shade. I'm just trying to make an illustration to get us all to practice, okay? And I'm out your hair. Sometimes there's a burden, and then someone says, hey, I can't do that thing. I need you to do it. And it's like, I mean, all right, I guess. That's okay. If you're seeing this, good. This is how I feel sometimes. And some of y'all feel this way. If you feel this way, I hope you feel relieved, because I'm trying to tell you something, that God wants you to be free. All right. Now let's move. I'm ready. My bags are packed. I'm carrying some burdens. All right. Y'all ready to go? Let's keep going. Somebody over here says, hey, I can't do that thing. I got one more thing. I'm like, all right, did you tell this person? Yeah, they said they couldn't do it. I'm like, okay. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about somebody in here. All right, Pastor, let's move. Let's rock. I spent way too much time getting ready for my sermon, you know? Okay. I'm ready. There's another bag in here. I'm not going to do all that. Do you get the point? If we don't carry our load, then some of us are going to be way past capacity. And in the church, in the West, specifically in America, we have created something that we don't like. None of us like it. People burn out. People get hurt. Anybody ever been burnt out before? Ever been hurt by the church? but you weren't really hurt by like God's people, right? I mean, it's God's people, but you were hurt by some institution, right? Maybe. But when God's people come to your aid, like, that's what we want, right? My point is that we need to carry our load. That's my personal responsibility in fulfilling the obligation of Christ to love my siblings and carry with them. If we all do that together, I think that we could go a long way and switch hands and have needs when we need them and share and carry, and it would be something that's doable. Otherwise, we end up like Moses in Numbers chapter 11, where he says, God, do you hate me? I can't do all this. And God says, bring me your 70 elders, and I'm going to take the spirit that I've put on you, and I'm going to put it on others. So if in your life you feel like you're carrying too much and you can't carry on, then let's go back to step two. Have you shared with your siblings so that they can carry what you're carrying? Or let's stay in this point. Have you considered your capacity? Because some of us, I think, have confused boundaries with limits. Boundaries are what you set. Limits are what God sets. And some of us need to trust, I'm not bagging on boundaries. I'm not bagging on that. What I'm saying is, if we're not careful, we can leave siblings out to dry because we think that our load is all we can carry. And some of us need to trust that God will carry us while we carry for others. And some of us are proud, and we need to know that carrying more isn't God answering the prayer of Jabez all the time. Some of us are living beneath our limits, and some of us are living beyond our limits. And only you can know that. That's why you need to pack your bags with humility, to consider humbly. So family's got baggage. If you're going to be a part of a craving community, there will be plenty of baggage. Lots of bags, all the bags. But a family has a lot of hands, and so I think we could go a long way, and it could feel a little lighter if we go together. Say, my bags are packed. And whether you are ready to carry or whether you need to be carried, pack your bags with gentleness, with love, and with humility.
Thank you again for listening to the Disciple City Church podcast. Until we meet again, shalom.